You experience yourself as an eternal being in your dreams every night. Yet you know almost nothing about yourself and life today. Actually, you have limited yourself to the personal beliefs and language you are living and struggling against. Yet you maintain that your language and beliefs are correct and appropriate. Anybody want to jump on that?
I'm certainly not going to disagree with that. Yeah, me neither.
Wait a minute now.
No.
You don't. I said you maintain that your language and beliefs are correct and appropriate. Now, I don't care about your beliefs for the moment, but I attacked your language. And are you saying then that there's certainly nothing to argue with about your language, that you believe that it is correct?
Not exactly what I said. What I said is that I tend to believe that what my language says is correct, and I keep on stumbling and falling and hurting and every other darn thing you can think of, and why I continue doing that is a puzzle to me.
Well, then why don't you change that?
Well, you know, the hint that I got a hint listening to you and Andrew there a few minutes ago. Why the hell do you believe this crap that's written by a bunch of dead people, long dead people that didn't know much about anything? You were also saying, you know, reminding him that it's all made up anyway. Why don't you make up what you want? And it just, you know. There seems to be something that I want to reference, something that has authority, and it's crap shit, as you like to say.
But it has no authority. There's no authority there. Nobody can. I mean, listen to all the preachers on TV, and they're saying this is authority. There's nothing in the Bible that says that there's any authority in that. Nothing of that at all.
You know what, I've not read enough of the Bible to be able to comment on that, but I can say that in everything that I remember as a child, these people in charge of the church said, told my family, that this is the Word of God.
So what? I'm saying I tackled your language. You can then take your language and go back and tackle what people said about your religion or God and etc. But I'm tackling your language. Why are you not willing to do that?
I wish I had a clearer idea of why I won't give up or make it really hard to give up on my language.
Because the language and the beliefs that have been handed down through language are all incorrect, and they distort everything about life.
As we're speaking, you know, that's always abundantly clear.
But you still won't change anything.
Well, seems to be what I've been engaged in.
Well, let's see if we can get sort of an imprint of this. As you continue believing, thinking, and acting in particular ways, this creates active pathways in your brain, such that now your beliefs, thoughts, and actions follow these well-worn pathways in your brain,
mm-hmm.
which substantiates what you already believe and think. and then you act upon that. Does that seem reasonable?
It certainly does.
No. I don't mean that it's whether it's reasonable that that occurs. Does it seem reasonable to continue that pathway?
No, that's very unreasonable, given particularly now when you pointed out that the process that happens with the neuron pathways in the brain, no, that's not very reasonable to continue doing that.
But it's reasonable then that, like in some ancient Roman cities where there were ruts in the street from cartwheels going over and over and over the stones, etc., until they wore 18-inch ruts in the streets, then you couldn't get out of the ruts. You've worn ruts in your brain, and then you can't get out of the ruts that you subjected your brain to.
Seems to be that's what's going on, yeah.
Okay, so generation.
So have you got any on how to lay in something else?
You just got to stop following the pattern. It isn't a matter of laying. First of all, you got to get out of the rut, and you don't do that. You say, well, it only makes sense if it follows the rut. All I'm saying is then you have to listen outside of the ruts.
Actually, you know what? I think I do. Listen outside the ruts at least some of the time, and then wake up tomorrow morning and I slip back into the ruts.
That's right. Listening out of the ruts means then that you have to do something outside of the ruts.
Is that true listening?
No, that's not, but it is more a matter of imaginative minding, which was, you see, if I get you to create a picture of everything I say and then think in pictures in that way, then you'll get out of the rut. Your rut is you only think in words and the structure of language.
Yeah, I think I see that. Yep, I do.
Generation after generation, DNA maintains those patterns as the way your brain works. You do it, everybody else does it, and that's carried on through DNA in the same way. And then we go to try and figure out how your brain works. It works that way because it's been conditioned to work that way, but doesn't mean that it has to work that way. But it takes courage, let's say even great courage, to turn away from safe and easy pathways of believing, thinking, and acting. Consider what it took centuries ago for sailors to turn west from the safety of the near land sailing routes along the coast of Africa. And they turned west and headed out into the unknown charted waters of the South Atlantic. Are you willing to turn away from the safety of your, and safety is in terms of your relationship to other people, because then you could all, you're all in the same boat. But are you willing to turn away from that safety, because that's a pretty iffy safety, of your language, life, and beliefs today and sort of venture into uncharted awarenesses and realizations.
So, yes, and got a question. Every one of us that is listening, in one way or another, is engaged with a whole pile of people who are in the same rut, let's say.
All right.
Now, you're suggesting that I can stay aware of the ruts of the or the network that I live and work within, and lay down or entertain new thoughts, new ideas, new images, and new ways of doing things. I don't need to step away from one in order for the other to occur.
I'm not quite certain what you said.
Well, I'm focusing on the people that I deal with. The people pay me to cause effects, and it seems to me I better stay aware of that.
So you can deal with them in the language mistakes or errors or problems or distortions, and yourself be outside of those distortions.
Okay, and it seems to me that you long time ago said we can be in the world of duality, but we do not have to be
of the world of duality.
So that's a like kind of understanding.
Well, yeah, it sounds kind of good, but we'll see how well you do that tonight.
Okay.
Ancient Egyptians had a regular practice in which they left their body, traveled to what they called the far world, which was believed to be the world of the dead, and returned to tell of seeing and experiencing life after death. And that revealed the self and life they were preparing for themselves. Wouldn't your beliefs, attitudes, and life today be far more meaningful and less stressful, knowing and experiencing yourself and life after death, as your eternal self?
I think that would probably be true.
Well, as thrilling as that may seem, even finer and more exciting is to awarefully live your life today as an eternal being, or communioned with your eternal self, and experience yourself in that way. Wouldn't that change or transfigure everything you believe and think you know about yourself today?
I certainly think so, yes.
Well, last Monday I said, as a declarative question, what if you don't have free will? Do you want to discuss living with or without free will? Or what do you mean by free will?
Well, I remember the discussion last week, and I think I got myself going along with you, that the notion that having declared my motif, there really is no free will after that. That I will always be following self-evidently that motif that seems that maybe if if there's any choice left, it's mm-hmm. the manner in which I may express my motif. And I think the term that you've been using is my emprise. And then within that context, it seems then that free will becomes kind of an irrelevant notion.
Wait a minute. I don't necessarily agree, and you may have repeated what I said, but how do you live a life without free will? And when I say free will, since I use it as one word, then I get to say free will to do anything. Are you willing to live a life without free will? It's easy for you to say, well, all right, let me back this up again. Are you willing to accept that if you have free will, you cannot and do not and will not in your life know yourself today? And you will judge. And if you, in some way or another, you say declare yourself, if you know yourself, then you do not have free will. Which would you choose?
Knowing myself and not having free will.
Good, fine. Now, how are you going to live?
Well, I think, and that's always the question, because I'm going to try to cause something and make choices.
But that's the point. Wait, Sally. If you make a choice to know yourself and not have free will, you cannot enter this discussion by giving yourself free will.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Free will, to me means being able to make choices, but then you have to make a choice, which you're trying to see the consequences and effect and make the right choice and the good choice, and you've already set yourself up for judgment.
That's right, and you're living by cause and effect and judgments. And if you then want to then say somehow, okay, I will free myself of my judgments and cause and effect, then maybe you can know yourself, but declaring yourself is not good enough and you do not have free will. Now tell me how you're going to live, and don't just give me a bunch of crappy words. If you choose to know yourself and not have free will, what will you do? And how will you live? This is an issue. If you're going to say, I'm going to get out of my language, then here is a beginning point. How will you do that?
I don't know.
If you don't know, then what you will do is you will continue your rutted living by cause and effect, hoping that you have free will, and in that, never know yourself.
Right. That's right.
Well, then
I don't know the how. If I'm going language how, and then always that involves doing something.
I'm gonna pass you for a moment, Sally,
okay.
and ask Patrick.
Okay.
What is wrong with what Sally is saying? I don't know how.
Well, my first part of the answer is that it's an immediate retreat to language. And the structure of language, it says there's an object, which is
right.
Living without free will. And how do I do that? And it sets it up as something I got to try to accomplish.
Right.
Let's assume that that's so. Then you said you were willing to step out of language and the structure of language and the ruts of your brains that keep you there. Well, step out!
Well, I've given myself some recent experience that functioning through images rather than through words. And I've been absolutely amazed that as I look at the images that I'm generating about what's going on or whatever, that images continue to be formed.
Wait a minute.
They don't even.
Wait a minute, Patrick. Yeah. Do me a favor. Don't ever say to me, images come to me, images come to mind, or images are formed. You formed the images, end of discussion.
Thank you very much for that. That's absolutely correct.
But everybody says, well, this is what comes to mind. No, when I say something, it doesn't come to your mind. You come it to your mind.
Absolutely.
So then, if in a sense you would say then that you come that image as a cause and effect or a old habit pattern image in the first place, and then you may struggle somehow or other with that image to change, but maybe you haven't.
Maybe I haven't.
Maybe you have not really changed with the image because maybe you cause and affect the image, gave away your free will, judged, and then in looking at the image, did it all over again.
That's certainly I've experienced that. But I've also had the experience of imaging, and it seems that I rather automatically, without thinking, act relative to those images.
But do we not then say, but you created the images? What makes you think that those images are any different than your language?
Well, because I was I think that I very deliberately decided that in the instance that comes to mind here, very deliberately decided cause and effects ain't going to work here. I just got to step back and be quiet here for a bit and see what I can do, what images generate relative to this circumstance.
No, I'm back again to you saying that images don't generate, you generate them. What makes you think then that what is generated is other than you generating the images in the first place?
Well, if I slipped in my language again, thanks for catching it, but there is nothing else for me to do than I generate images.
That's not necessarily true. Maybe the problem is here is you won't give yourself an option outside of language.
I thought that's what imaging was.
But the point I have said before is that, like meditation, you're in a certain state, but as soon as you leave that state of meditation and go live your life, you haven't given yourself a new and different way to live your life. So you can create the images, don't disagree with that, but when you then decide or talk about what the images are about, you're right back to square one.
Well, what if? What if I?
Sally's listening. Sally's listening to all this, so you got to give her good advice.
I beg your pardon?
I said Sally is listening to all of this. That's why I went back to you, because she said, "What do I do?" And I thought, "Gee, well, Pat must have an answer."
Yeah, he doesn't. Andrew does.
And so I'm asking then, what if my actioning is directly relative to the images that I've created?
Don't necessarily disagree with that, but are you willing to what degree and how would you give up free will? You think you have free will to create image, any image you want, or to act upon anything you can reasonably think of. Are you willing to throw that in the trash?
Well, you know what? There's something different. And I think I raised this with you once in an entirely different context, that I've started to become aware of at least two ways in which my brain functioned. One was that I deliberately tried to think through problems, and I think that in deliberately thinking through problems, that I was cause and effecting thinking. I was tying my thinking to outcomes, and I was using language terms in my thinking and trying to achieve outcomes. And then I told you that there was another way of thinking that it seems that I would experience, that I would generate images wholly unconnected to any kind of languaging or pre-thought objective or firmly held, this is what it's got to be kind of objective. And it's that second kind that I think I'm experiencing now, that I really do step out of language and take a look at what it is that I'm prepared to generate in terms of images. And it's not a matter of I'm going to sort through all these various images. I seem to create an image around whatever it is the issue is, that it seems really, really clear what I want to act on next. And it's not a matter of, that'll get me to my objective. It just seems to be the appropriate thing to do.
Don't you understand that in everything you said, there's two things going on? One is, it's meaningless because you have no way of knowing who you are, if that's true, what's going on, and you're still filled with judgments in everything you say.
Mm. Even well, the second part I'm quite sure of, but the first part, that won't we...
How do you know the any significance of the images you create? What is that related to?
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with that, or what you're referring to.
Well, all I'm trying to do is to say, wait a minute, you can live your language and talk all about sorts of things in that regard, but I'm trying to keep you focused. If you choose to know yourself and in that give up free will, if that's what you're choosing to do, then you have to only speak to me in those terms. If you've given up free will, then you do not have the ability to choose this or that.
Okay. When you know yourself, is that not how I have declared myself to be?
Wait a minute. What I've said to you before is this. The universe doesn't listen to you. You guys don't even speak the same frigging language. So how you've declared yourself to be is of no consequence to the universe or the world around you. They only react to your actions. So how do you action then? You don't have free will. So what does your declaration mean? If you declare yourself to be somebody, then how do you act?
Hey, Rod, wait. I have a question. I want to splice this a little closer before we stumble over it again.
You want to what?
I don't really know. When you say you don't have free will, I want to make sure, what are you meaning by that?
You don't have free will to do as you choose to do. So, if he declares himself, then how does he act? He doesn't have the free will to live or become that choice.
I don't wait now. Right, live or become that choice. Okay.
In other words, what you don't have the free will to do anything. If you can't do anything, the universe can't affirm you, and you can't affirm yourself.
I'm going to speak for everybody here, and I'm going to say, I bet you we don't understand that, because don't I still decide to go out the door or not?
No, I'm saying you don't. That's the problem in this regard. You want to play both sides of the issue and get all of the advantages and throw away all of the disadvantages. That's language.
Maybe what I need to say is, what I'm going to say is, that's language thing? Because I'm going to say, I can't even imagine life without making a choice of something.
So there you are. You can't imagine life without free will. If you have free will, you can't know yourself.
And if I have free will, I can't know myself.
How could you possibly know it? How could you possibly know yourself?
Well, wait. I got to say something there.
All right, fine.
What you're saying... Well, I'm sorry. The phone's cutting all funny here. Sorry about that. You said before, don't tell you the image that comes to me. I'd say the image I'm creating. So if you say know myself, does that mean the knowing that I'm creating?
You can't know who you are or what you are. So you have no point of reference, a consistent point of reference. It's like Einstein says, you only know things relative to yourself. If you don't know yourself, then you can't know anything. You can't even, if you don't know yourself, you can't make consistent choices. There's no way we can look at your actions and say, oh, well, that's Andrew, because your actions are all over the map based on this judgment or that judgment, but they're totally inconsistent.
Yeah, but on that point, haven't we said before that to know myself would be deadly? I mean, it's more like making myself up is what I think we've talked about in the past. Making myself up.
But this is somewhat correct. But what I'm saying is that if you know yourself, you don't have free will. So we can come back and say, okay, I guess that's frigging deadly. What are your options? Here we've languaged this to death. And Sally's saying, well, goddammit, tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm telling you the dilemma you get yourself into, in that you try to take a piece of this and a piece of that and put it together. It doesn't work that way.
If are you saying that knowing myself short-circuits free will because then there's no effort to outcome?
Why are we even talking about outcomes?
I guess I'm just trying to understand the free will thing that short-circuits knowing yourself.
What?
I guess I'm sorry. I missed the step of understanding how having free will prevents me or destroys my knowing myself.
All right. You can only essentially know yourself by observing that what you do and finding in that there is a constancy or consistent you in those actions. You can't know yourself just by, all right, but if you have free will, every moment of every day and every second you do something for some unknown, ungodly judgment reason. So there's no constancy in your actions for you to be able to know yourself.
Yay! I understand you!
Thank you! we can't even say that there is a commonality or a golden thread or anything there that says, well, I guess this must be Andrew. No, Andrew's all over the board. He doesn't know himself, and we sure as hell can't know you.
Okay, it's tenuous, but I think I understand that. Thank you.
All right, let me go one step further. Is it possible for you to say then that since the universe only reacts, all the universe is doing is transfiguring my actions? It's giving me a different version or vision of my actions so I can know myself. But there's no constancy in that. You can't know yourself.
Wait, say that last sentence again. Unless?
I said, but there is no constancy in that. The universe is constantly showing your actions back to you in a transfigured form. They're not a reaction. It's the same action transfigured. So that then allows you to see and know yourself. But you can't know yourself because there's no constancy in what you're seeing. This is why, to a certain degree, I said every event, instead of saying that every event reveals the self and life you are living, which it does, but you can't understand that because there's no constancy. But I can say how you feel about events. There's almost always going to be some degree of consistency in your feelings. And so that gives me a better image of, or a possible image of, you. Your other choice is to tell me who you are. And to tell me who you are is not to tell me who you've chosen. Because chosen means then, well, I choose this. Well, when are you going to live it? And if you're not living it, you haven't chosen it, and your universe isn't responding to it.
That follows. That makes perfect sense.
But this is what I'm trying to say in all of this, that all we're doing here is discussing language for one side or another side. I'm saying to you, when Sally says, what do? She means, if I get it correctly in that, she means, how do I use language to solve the language problem? And I'm saying, why don't you give yourself another picture of yourself and life that doesn't fall into this trap? It doesn't matter whether you accept God or don't accept God or any of that crap at all. You're still back where you were. You have to create a whole different image of yourself and life in this regard in order to then know what this means. I created the, well, no, I didn't create it, but in this discussion, I essentially created the dilemma by saying that if you have free will to do, then you can't know yourself, and in knowing self, you have no free will. You want to know yourself and have free will. That doesn't count. It doesn't exist in this dilemma. Give me another way in which you can know yourself and have free will.
Okay.
You okay with that, Patrick?
Oh, yeah.
Has Canada dropped off the phone?
No, I'm here.
Yeah.
This is what I've been asked from the very beginning. You're trying to maintain the image of yourself. Do you remember back in 02 or 03, I said, what is your image of the universe and what is the image of yourself in the universe? I have been trying for decades now to get you to say that I guess I have to change my image of everything in order to give me a way to resolve this problem. You can't stay within the image and the that is a problem by language and solve the problem. So when I bring up the problem here, and the problem is that having free will to do, but in that not knowing yourself, or having yourself and not having free will, what is the image? What are your alternatives? Or can you give yourself another image than that? Those two, either one of those two. Image your way out of that. You can't language your way out of that, I guarantee you. I'm going to sit back and wait now for somebody to say something. And any image that you are now creating is probably either side of that dilemma, and you don't image yourself outside of that dilemma. So now I'm going to wait and wait and wait until somebody takes over.
Well, Roger, I have a question here. I'm thinking about when I dream, I don't make any choices that I can think of, and I'm choosing to do this, to be in that place, to be the observer, to jump in, to completely recreate everything to the next nanosecond that I do it. I don't look back on it and make decisions based on what happened. There's just some, I don't know what you call it, consistency, continuity, something. It makes sense, but I don't even have to analyze. I don't even have to think about in my...
So then what we're saying here is you free yourself of this dilemma every night in your dream. You're observing yourself doing something, but in the dreams, most of the time, it is occurring. It isn't you making choices. Then you go out the door, but you didn't choose to go out the door.
Right. Right.
And then you got on a bicycle, or then you were in 1953, but you didn't choose
right.
to be in 1953. Well, then maybe you're in that, then your dreams are trying to give you an image of saying, hey, in your dreams, you don't have free will.
Right.
All right, so then...
In my dream, but here's the other thing.
Wait a minute.
In my dream, okay, sorry.
Is it possible then that knowing yourself and not having free will and living in that degree is your dream?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, go ahead, Sally.
You know, the other thing about the dream that, and I'm languaging now, but it seems I can wake up in tears. I can be the whole range of full emotions, but it's not a concern. It seems a natural whatever, and I don't get stuck in or go, oh, I'm sad, or oh, I'm happy, or I just have that full range, and it's just, I know, it just feels so alive, so...
But what if, then, in that case... What if your life was the same aliveness, because it's obviously in your dreams that you are there and also observing yourself. You don't have any free will. You experience no action of making choices per se.
Right. Yeah, that's why I look forward to dreaming. I have a whole other lifetime. I mean, I have a whole other experience. I love going to sleep at night.
But what if that's your life? Are you, maybe your regular get up and go lifetime is not so different, except then that you try to take on your free will and,
right,
allow me to say, force the issue.
Right.
What if that's not really what's going on?
Right.
What if the images of your dream is really what you're doing? You just think you have free will. What if you don't have free will? Like your dream.
Right.
Now what's life all about?
But somehow, even, and I'm looking, just thinking of dreams, I'll say the word, I feel really free or unencumbered, even in the midst of all the scenarios, situations, emotions. There's just a, I don't know what it is, it's a full aliveness. Maybe that's the word you're saying.
Okay, then what if your life was like that all the time?
Yeah.
What makes you think you have to have free will to do?
Right.
I got some questions.
I got some answers.
I have some dreams like Sally speaks of, and I too look forward to going to sleep so that I can get into that dream place. But I also have dreams where a scenario runs, and then it's almost like I hit the pause button and said, tell myself as the observer, let's do that again, but let's do it in a different way. And I run it back, and I run the dream in a different way.
That's assumed that's the case. But in the dream, you probably don't have free will. You may run the dream in over again in a different way, and you may think that that's free will, but you have no free will action in the dream.
Right.
That's the point, yeah. Because I don't tell a dream
what to do,
how I want to run.
So.
Then the other people.
So what if life... What if that's a true image of life? What picture, image, or scenario of life that would give you that aliveness that you could live and experience? And by that I do not mean have no expectations, because in this it was don't do anything. You're not doing anything in the dream to cause things or to bring manifest things in your life.
Right.
Yet in your everyday life, that is what your struggle is.
Right. Well, maybe I've set meaning in my life in the sense of setting something that I want and, you know, working to manifest it. Because most of my dreaming just seems meaningless. It's just that I'm just sitting there.
It's because you are in your mind living entirely different than in the dream state. You would say, I would choose to have free will. I don't care what you say about otherwise than that. And then in choosing to have free will, you are manipulating everything. And nothing.
I see no particular advantage or meaning or desirability in just being a passive observer of events.
I didn't say that. Wait a minute. I said if you don't have free will, do not go to some passive observer. I never said that.
No, I'm talking about my experience of dreams and the way Sally described it.
Didn't say we're not talking about your being a passive observer even in dreams or anything. You can be an active observer in your dreams without at all still having free will.
Right.
See, you're going back into language again, and you're struggling. Now, I'm trying to say to you, what if that's not so? What if the ruts you have in your language thinking have you trapped there? Are you willing to climb out of the ruts?
I have to ask a question here. I'm really getting confused about what you're meaning by and what state or state of existence free will or non-free will is. It seems that I just can't nail it down right now.
Well, how do you live self-evidentingly?
Well, sure as hell don't make choices.
Well then, if you're not making choices, you got no free will. So if you say, I know myself and I live self-evidentingly, then you're not making choices. It's self-evident that you'll do this.
Right.
And in that's a manifestation of the absence of free will.
No, free will is not an issue. All free will is about is judgments, nothing but judgments.
Okay.
And it destroys yourself. Free will destroys you.
Okay, I got that.
Me too.
You got that?
So, in dreams...
Wait a minute, I want him to explain that to me. If he got it, I want to explain that to me. I just said those words. What does it mean?
In free will, as we've talked about it, I'm making judgments relative to something different, unknown all the time, a judgment of a judgment, even, and so there's no constancy in there to be aware of myself.
Is that what you meant, Patrick?
In terms of free will?
Yeah.
I was referring more to the condition that you described, that where free will is no longer an issue. It just doesn't, it's not a concern.
You won't live that in this regard. You're taking on that I said, living self-evidentingly so, and you say, well, okay, then free will's not an issue. But how do you do that?
Well, that goes back to the almost an hour ago when Sally says, I don't know.
Then we're back to square one. If you don't know how you do that, then what you'll do, you'll go out to cause and live yourself relative to free will, and then defeat everything you're trying to accomplish.
I know, and there is only...
Then you have to create another story of life, another image of life, and then describe that image to me of life. You cannot stay in this conundrum and survive. You're killing yourself if you stay in this conundrum.
Absolutely.
Okay, Simone, you want to come in and...
Yes, I was just thinking if this what we and Sally said before about dreams, so dreams must be self-evidently acting.
Well, isn't it? You don't find yourself... So what I'm trying to say is then, if you experience this every night in your dreams, what image or picture or scenario of life could you create and picture such that that works in your life today, not in just your dreams?
Right.
What if the dreams in that regard are you telling yourself, hey, this is the life we want to live?
Right.
And then when you and then Pat or Andrew says, well, it don't make so much sense. Well, maybe if you lived in that way, it would make perfect sense. And maybe if you lived in that way, you wouldn't be creating images counter to the way you're living.
Right.
You see, what Jesus did, as far as I'm concerned, Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha, they all did, is that this is the way you're supposed to live your life. This is the good way. Dalai Lama. Love and compassion. That has nothing to do with anything as far as the universe is concerned. But maybe this dilemma is saying you can't stay on either side of this dilemma and solve the problem. You have to give yourself a third option or you're screwed.
Right.
And it's not for me to tell you what your third option is. All I'm doing, as I told Andrew yesterday, I've given you zillions of things or tools to use that you apply in creating, or can apply in creating this image of the universe and yourself in the universe in this way. See, what you do is you consider your dreams, well, I don't know, they're just an aberration. Well, maybe they're not. Maybe what you're doing is the aberration. Hello?
What? The abolition?
Aberration. A-B-E-R-R-A-T-I-O-N. It may have two B's in it.
No.
Aberration.
Apparition, as in a ghostly kind of
No, an apparition is a sort of like a not thing, the unreal.
A-P-P.
Huh?
A-P-P?
B-B. Boy.
A-P-P, isn't it?
No. Aberration. Aberration. A-B-B-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. I guess it has two B's in it.
Oh. Okay, as an aberrant.
That's all I'm suggesting here. We've tried everything else, and it seems to me then that dreams are... Maybe you're living your... what I'm trying to say here is maybe you're living the truth of yourself in your dreams, not in your frigging life. But the dreams don't make sense because you interpret them or try to look at them and understand them relative to your life, which is okay. But then it doesn't get you out of the box. Now, what would you like to do, Patrick? You had several
things. I think we've got here innumerable times before, and it seems to me it calls for a total remake of the image of myself and the universe and myself in the universe, how it all functions, right down to the discussion of the brain, the universe, and what does that mean? What does that look like? What's the image? And that the and then how it the universe functions and how.
But how do you want it to look? Let's start off with. If there was a Big Bang caused beginning, whether it's God or something, then that big cause or that God, that cause controls you. All I did in saying in that the universe reigned in that regard is to say no beginning cause is necessary.
Yes.
What I'm trying to do then is clear the field, and I've gone on with about a zillion other things. Clear the field of all the excuses you have as to why you can't do this or you must do that. Now, assuming you may not understand what was going on or how or what I was doing, and I may have not have done it right, but let's assume for the moment that there is nothing at all that works against you, that says you must do this or you must not do that, or you must do it in this way. None of that exists. Now create the self and life you truly desire. That's what we've been talking about for 10 years. When are you going to do it? What you do is you create a variety or a variance of, in one form or another, the same old language trap that you have set for yourself, and you won't get out of the rut.
There's one thing that I certainly have not been able to really nail down for myself yet. I'm reasonably comfortable about a universe that doesn't need a God or a Big Bang. But what I'm not yet comfortable with is what was going on that I came alive. Why Karen, what was going on as that suddenly we have Karen.
You see, why? If it, you see, that's exactly, you'll talk about the universe and not give a damn, but you won't talk about yourself without giving it a free will or a reason or a purpose or a meaning. And then you're stuck from that moment on.
No, and then the only thing that I can come up with that seems to get around that particular dilemma is that I am a random event in the universe.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it at all. And I think what you said before is, it wasn't the goddamn lottery. What are you complaining about?
That's right. So then here you are. Now, regardless of whether that's random, like a dream, is the dream random? Regardless, there you are in the dream, and here you are in your life. What the hell are you going to do? Are you going to tell me that you can't do anything right or create for yourself unless you know how, why, and what created you? That's the dilemma.
No, I'm actually now that we're talking about it, I think it's kind of neat that I am a random event.
But you won't live that. You talk it. And what I'm asking is... What?
I was going to try to make it funny. Maybe it's not so funny.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe... But baby steps.
No!
Sometimes...
No! Don't tell me how you can get somewhere else from here, because you have to then create the image of the universe the way it is, not the way you want it to be. Because if it's the way you want it to be, then you got to get there from here.
Say that again?
I'm saying I want you to create the universe the way it is in your mind. This is the way it is. It isn't something, the universe or you, that you want it to become this or be this, because then you're stuck in your same old language of cause and effect and free will.
So then I declare it to be this way, and that's it.
And then live it that way. You don't.
Yeah.
You declare, really, what you're declaring is, I want it to be this way. And until it shows itself to be this way, I'll keep doing the same old crap.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's free will.
That's free will.
For you, Andrew.
What is so good or sacred about free will? Let me suggest the possibility. Oh, well, if I have free will, then I can do to become. Why the hell do you want to become? Why don't you just be who you are?
Yeah.
So free will didn't offer you anything. It took everything away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So, the very nature of saying, I have free will to do and become whatever I want to be and become. Well, then fine. Then you don't know who you are, and you'll always be trapping yourself in conclusions or language, cause and effect, to become something.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still waiting. We still have 45 minutes. Well, I guess if we don't have any more, then we might as well quit early. Why are you so afraid to even talk about creating the universe and yourself the way you want it to be? Is there something...
Well, the way it is, not the way you want it to be.
No, you tell me how you want it to be right now, and then we'll talk about how that wannabe is. And what we'll talk about is that it is not just an is for you, it is the way of the universe. Wait a minute, didn't I say the universe is so plenary that it is to you, it is as it is, and it is to you as you are? Well, tell me. And the universe will be that for you. And I understand your catch there. I was using is in a different form. It's like President Clinton would say, well, it defines all, depends on what your definition of is. And there is a definition difference between what is. And if you don't know yourself, then you'll make random judgment decisions and choices, and life will have no meaning. It can't have any meaning because it is all random.
Right.
You're not here just because the universe is random. You're not here to say, well, then I'll do random too.
Oh, we could, but...
Well, you certainly are doing that. By doing cause and effect, you are doing random. And that random is without intention. That random is meaningless. It has no purpose. Well, gee, I don't think we got too much farther than where we got before yesterday there, Andrew. Come on.
Sorry, I'm still stuck where I was yesterday a bit, but... What are we doing here? Are you wanting us to talk about how we want the universe to be?
Of course!
Oh, wow.
It's always been that. It's never been anything other than that. What I said to you before is you can look at like a goal, what you want it to be. And this is the is discussion that we had a minute ago, Patrick. And then you be the goal. You don't set the goal and try to become that. You be that. Okay. Then set the universe and yourself in the universe as you want it to be, and then live that. That's as simple as I can say it.
So, Raj, I guess something I've been pondering the last bunch of days is, it's really more of an image than words, but there was something that we did at gathering once that the idea of, like, have the universe be to me as I am unto the universe, which is, that's words, but what I'm saying is, however I am seeing myself and acting upon myself and believing and feeling in and of myself, that the universe be exactly that.
Okay, pause. Now, no. You said when I be and do and act upon myself. That's like self-evidenting. That's like
what?
You don't have free will. You're living yourself. There's no free will in that.
Now, well, actually, to tell you the truth... No, wait, pause. I hesitated because the next thing I was going to say is, I think that walks me up to the free will trap, because then I'll say, well, how do I want to be? And that gets me into judgment choices that I can have when I want to.
No,
right?
No, you started off saying then that I'll allow you one unfree will choice. Is what is it or how is it that you want to be? Now, be that, and the minute you are being that, you have thrown away all free will. Everything you do is self-evidently living the self that you are.
So, like, for example, I set myself in a certain way, and then, I don't know what, somebody comes up and I don't know, they bump me in on the sidewalk or something, but I'm not reacting then.
That doesn't help. Doesn't help. Not reacting is not the problem. There should be no...
Wait, I'm not saying that. I'm saying instead of reacting, what I'm doing is I'm only recognizing myself in that event and what I do relative to that event.
I know what you said. I know what you said, and this is the same damn dilemma of Tibetan Buddhism and all of that. That doesn't work. You've already lost the game when somebody comes up to you, surprise, surprise, and does this.
Is that right? Why is that? Why have I lost the game there? How is that different than in a dream, I'm walking on the sidewalk and somebody bumped me as they were passing by?
Because you're assuming, what you're now trying to say is, what does that unknown incident that came into myself say about my living? And what I'm saying to you is, listen very carefully, that an event is random, no matter how it occurs, then you personalize it and particularize it as an occurrence per se. And what we're saying is that if you're truly living yourself, then that's not an unknown event that came to you while walking along the sidewalk.
Okay, so saying like then that, oh shit, hang on, I just had this. Saying that it's not, the universe, the random events of the universe are immaterial to me. What is important or material to me is how I live myself relative to whatever it is.
No, it is how you particularize the event to be in the first place. Then you live and respond to it, or try not to respond to it in that regard. But how you particularize it in that way in your life is the problem right there.
Okay, now I got a question for you, a little bit of a sidestep on that. Yesterday we were talking, and nobody else knows this, but as we talked about things like this, I kept saying it's the story that I'm telling myself that is what my life is about, and you said no. So is this sort of like what you're saying? It's not the story I'm telling, but how I particularize each moment.
That's right. It's what you do and how you live. It isn't the story you're telling yourself.
What's the difference between the story I'm telling and how I particularize an event?
Because you're telling one story, but not necessarily living or doing that story.
Oh, that I didn't know that.
Well, of course, that's what when we say that when you're trying to a cause or cause an effect in that regard. You may think you're doing one thing, but you're actually doing something entirely different.
I can actually see that, yeah.
So, you're then saying, this is my story, but you're not living that story. You may be living to try to live that story, or try to make it come true, or something or other. But then the event that you are living, what you're doing in that regard, is what the universe is responding to, not to your story.
Okay, I actually understand that. Well, at least in my current image, I think I understand that.
What if life is really that? That sounds complicated because we're meddling with language here, but when you get down to it, life is that simple.
Yeah, that's right.
And a follow up on Andrew's point there about the story that we may be telling ourselves.
Yeah.
Isn't the story I tell myself really shape what my actions will be?
Well, let me ask you another question. I'm going to pose something else to you, Patrick, so follow along very carefully, okay?
Okay.
Do you understand that the universe only reacts?
Yes.
In other words, there is nothing out there that the universe consciously or intentionally does this, that, or the other thing.
Correct.
And that every event in that the universe creates is merely an extended reaction of something else.
Yes.
This is an aside for the moment. Are you willing to accept that it is not an empty reaction that allows you to do what you want, but it is a transfiguration of your actions?
Yeah. Okay.
If I'm doing something to dig a hole, what I see the universe doing is transfiguring my actions to a hole in the ground.
Right.
So that I can then look at or sense or feel my actions and look at the whole and understand the truth of my actions. Can I not?
Right. Exactly.
Wait a minute. Patrick, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you got to speak up. I got to follow you. I don't want to get diverted to Sally. Sally can jump right in. Okay, so you understand that the universe reacts only to actions.
Right.
Yes.
The universe does not speak your language so that then it cannot respond to your mind.
Oh, good.
I get that.
But the teaching is that every action begins in the mind. How? If I'm digging a hole, does my body respond to my mind? Anybody can jump in there.
I mean, because body is.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Do you control your body with your mind? Finally getting around to thinking about this. Maybe you don't control your body with your mind. Is that reasonable to say?
You control it with the brain, but the brain is part of body.
You don't even control. Well, I'm using brain and mind together. But in that regard, you can't mind your body to do anything. Is that okay?
Okay. All right. So what is it that,
Wait a minute. Hold that thought.
Okay, go ahead.
We got to go back to Pat. Are you okay with this, Pat, up to where we are?
No.
I knew you weren't.
I'm having problems with brain and mind.
I'm thinking about
okay.
The action of throwing a ball so my dog can chase it and bring it back.
What did your body respond to?
My desire.
Wait a minute. Let me back up here again. I started off saying to you, do you understand that the universe only reacts? You said yes. What the hell do you think your body is but part of the universe? So your body only reacts to reactions. Next. If the universe per se can't read your mind or your brain, let's go there for a while. Let's use brain instead of mind. If your universe can't read your brain, you can't think an action because your body can't read your brain either. Is it possible that you have to act? Or your body can't act or react.
Yes.
and right now I'm having a hell of a time distinguishing between me and my body.
What? That's right. That's absolutely right. Could you mind yourself, and yourself reacts, and your body then reacts to yourself? Is it possible then that there is a self that is between you and your body? Or let's do something else. Let's say the self is that thing that we call your spirit, and you are other than that even.
Oh. Oh. Wow. So.
Maybe you, like in the dream, are not the person doing the dream, but yet you are. You are, but you're not. What if, let's take a dream. There's you in a dream and you're watching yourself. Maybe you, in all of your life, is only the observer of you, yourself, acting in life. And when yourself acts, your body responds or reacts to the self acting. But that self ain't you.
That about God.
So that's how you can die. But you don't die.
Oh, you're improving.
You're improving. You finally said it the way we can understand.
I thought Roger was going to reach through and kiss you, Andrew.
What?
Where's that damn hammer?
Look, once you say something like that universe only reacts, then your body can only react. And it can't read your brain or your thoughts or your wishes or your hopes.
So action of body is really reaction.
Absolutely. And it's a reaction to the self, and the self ain't you.
Okay.
How far we've come.
I get that.
Well, you see now, just that alone, we have restructured your whole life and the universe in which you live. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. If the universe only reacts, then you have to say, I've got to stay with that. Once you stay with that, then there has to be an intermediate in your body.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Right. That is a game changer right there.
So the self that you think you are is the self you ain't.
Yeah, but it feels like me. But it's
but not. It feels like you when you're in the dream watching yourself doing something, and it feels like you.
Right.
But you're outside of that, watching your body do something, presuming a self, or sometimes feeling the self inside the body, but yet you are an observer outside. You are, let's say in this, you can feel yourself, yet you are the observer. So you are both the doer and the observer in this kind of way.
And it's, right. And it's a simultaneous. It's not even a me where you're actually...
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. Maybe it's not simultaneous. If it's not simultaneous, then can we say that maybe memory enters the picture?
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be memory over a long period of time. Just get rid of simultaneity from the moment, and then memory and memories enter the picture. Oh, are you and memory and self and memories entirely different?
Yeah.
This is now, if you're willing to look at that in the same way that we went through this, see, I got out of language by being consistent and forcing myself out of language. If I say this about the universe, then it must be true about the body. Then how do we account for all of this? Force yourself out of language that way.
So, as memory is of the same ilk relationship, self, you, not you.
Well, I'm not sure I understood you, but the answer is yes.
Okay. That's just the picture I got.
Well, using my picture that I got, the answer is yes. I'm not certain that I understand that we have the same picture. But doesn't that start right there, giving you a separate... See, we in doing this, we didn't say there is a different dimension of mind, a different level of consciousness, a different thinking. It's all the same thing, but we separate it out so that it makes sense. When you put it all together, like in simultaneous or oneness or union of things, and say, well, that's the true nature of the universe, you're screwed.
No, but and Roger, what I'm thinking is, it's like memory is, I'll say, interaction.
But an interaction does not have to be simultaneous. An action in...
That's what I meant. I don't mean exact same time or something. I just...
Interaction, that is correct.
Forth.
And when you say interaction, I use communion.
Okay, and you can sense that in the dream. It's really interesting that the concept of even the time of it, as you're observing, but you're still there, but it's so fast, even back and forth, that you can differentiate that there's some interaction between some things, but you're never stuck in the one thing or the other, and it never melts together to have one.
Absolutely correct. Okay. And you experience that in your dream. What if that is exactly what is going on in life? Then the question is, that doesn't make any language sense, but it makes every sense in the world to you.
Absolutely.
It changes your whole concept of life. What before we did, we say that enters the realm of spirit. No. In all of that, we don't enter a different realm or different dimension. We can say, if that's what's going on, how in this dimension is it going on? And you have proof positive that it's going on every night. Then the question is, we're not then, and when we say every night, we're not then talking about the emotional content of the dream, we're just talking how the dream functions. What if what we call it a dream is in fact your greatest dream of yourself in life, to live that?
Yep.
Or to you, because you are living it, but you won't pull it apart in order to see, well, damn, then this is what's going on. I am other than myself, but telling myself who is me, and that self then reacts, and the body reacts to that, and in doing that, then the universe reacts to that. What the hell is wrong with this?
Right.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah, it really is.
Now, if you understand that, is it possible for you to take that image and apply it to everything you do, every action and every reaction in your life, and see if you can't get a whole different picture of yourself in relationship, of you in relationship to yourself and the life you are living?
Right.
We okay with that, Patrick?
Yeah, I think.
So like we've come a long way.
And also, Roger, it takes even the words used, action, reaction, it takes the cause-effect concept of one before the other out of the picture.
But even that is not a cause and effect. It's a transfiguration that allows you, I can look at the whole. That's what I did. It's a transfiguration.
Right. Exactly.
So it's really cause, if you want to, and transfiguration. It is action and transfiguration.
Right, but in our languaging, we saying action, reaction, in our normal languaging, is a more of a cause-effect concept.
That's right, and then in that, then we've screwed up or narrowed our awareness away from what's going on. The universe is transfiguring everything you do so that you can know what it is you are doing. But then in knowing what you are doing from that, you can know who you are.
Oh.
And in that knowing who you are, this is how I live, self-evidently so. I don't have free will. I don't need free will. I live me.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah. So then this, your illustration of digging the hole, the universe transfigures your action of sticking the shovel in the ground. Is that the same thing then that when in baseball somebody's standing at home plate and swings and hits the ball, the universe is transfixing the action of swinging the bat.
That's right.
And then shows the ball going away.
That's what you just did. Batted the ball, and I can see the ball going and know the truth of your actions. So, wait a minute now. If that's the case, then we can say it has nothing to do with your braining, your desire, or whatever. The so-called reaction is a transfiguration of this is what you did.
So it eliminates that whole goal setting, and I'm going to hit the ball so it goes over there to that person. And
well, the question is, would you rather live yourself that you are self-evidently so, or would you rather have free will to try and cause what you desire? It's killing you.
Make the first choice.
Yeah, door number one.
Okay, then just like in the last half hour, I forced us out of the languaging. If this is true about the universe, then it is true about the body, which then creates a whole different image of your relationship between you and yourself and your body and the universe. I don't care what language says. I forced myself out of language that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We okay?
Yep.
Well, okay, then I guess...
I have a different picture of the universe right now.
Of course.
My body too, for that matter. Myself too, for that matter.
That's right. That's right. And you are not the self. You are not the spirit within the body. That's the self is the spirit within the body. But that ain't you. How about them apples?
Hallelujah. I see the light.
Now let me ask you a question. Is it possible that when I say you are a universal being, that's the being that ain't the self, that ain't the body, that continuing is a non-issue?
I got ya.
Are you beginning to see how we resolve these problems by stepping out of language? But to do that, we then have to create an image of the universe that allows it for you to create the image of yourself that allows you to step out of language.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is an image or a picture that I have. Your image or picture may or should be somewhat, but maybe entirely different. But I've just given you a different, an intermediate step that cuts through all the language crap.
Right, and you didn't say this is what we're supposed to do. You simply gave an illustration that we can live, but not maybe the only illustration.
That's right, and then I even say to this, then, that your image may be entirely or slightly different than that, but this kind of an imaging is necessary to force you out of the language trap you've got yourself into.
Right.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well.
Damn good Monday night.
All right. Bye now.